danielbritt.com.
Glad you've taken time out of your busy schedule to spend with us here for the next hour. We've got a seat at the table for you. Actually got the seat next to some really, really good singers. And they're all looking around like, who is it? It's the Gaither Less Vocal Band. It's Wes Hampton, Guy Penrod, and Marshall Hall. And guys, it's really good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
You know, the boss is away, so you can say some things that maybe you couldn't otherwise say, and be good for ratings. And
I'll tell you what he's really like.
Yes, that's what we want. We want the good,
dirt,
the bad, and the ugly.
I see.
The dirt.
Well, I'll leave that up to you, Guy, because I fear for my job.
Well, there's not a lot bad to say about that old boy.
Good guy.
In all honesty, you're right. I mean, you can look up dirt on a lot of people, and you can look and look and look for a long time, and you have a hard time coming up with anything on Bill and Gloria.
Well, that's true, and it's a good thing. You know, in the day and time we live, everybody's looking for dirt, but the bottom line is we're all busted, really.
That's true.
I mean, you know, when you think about it, you look in the mirror,
everybody's
busted. Just a matter of when you decide you admit it and say, oh, I'm busted, I need some help. Lord, come help me.
There's so much truth. Well, let's set the stage. We're talking backstage in Atlanta at a big arena here. We're in just a couple hours or so. The show's going to start. And you guys are kind of the flagship group of this homecoming tour and this phenomenon. Let's give a sneak peek into what's happening right now backstage. What's going on the buses? What's going on out in the arena? Sound checks with the catering. What all goes into this production called Homecoming?
Eating.
There's a lot of eating.
There's a lot of truth.
Our day revolves around eating. It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Marshall and I got excited about the P.F. Chang's down the road, so we look forward to that. And now that's over, and we're sad.
We're actually very spoiled.
Yeah.
We've got a wonderful crew of guys. Just, the crew would consist of, by the time you get the sound and lighting and setup crew and the product crews, there's probably 30, 35 guys out there working real hard, setting up staging and sound equipment, and 3 semi-trucks full of stuff, and 13 buses full of artists and product and material. So it's pretty involved through the day. You know, there's for these guys to travel. Well, last night we were in Memphis, and so a 430-mile trip. And then when they hit the ground, they've slept and get a little breakfast in them and set that sucker up.
I know.
Boy,
every day
it's amazing.
It's amazing to me that when the, you know, when Because He Lives is over and we say goodnight, I mean, by the time we have, you know, howdied and said, you know, and talked to folks, that stage is halfway gone.
Oh, I know it. They're a machine.
It's amazing. It's on the bus in about an hour and a half or, you know, in the trucks, and they are on the road. Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Typically, you guys pull out pretty quick after the concert's over. I mean, you give time to see everybody, and then you get the product tables. Once you get everything loaded, though, you're pretty much on your way to the next venue if there is one, right?
Yeah, just for, you know, a matter of scheduling and mileage to cover with the trucks and the buses and so forth. So some nights we have a little more time for load out and load in. But also in all these venues, you know, the local unions have folks that are on standby and ready to be able to help. And so we have to work within their scheduling and so forth. It's a pretty well-oiled machine. Bill's been doing this so long, you know, he's hit all the snags, and we get to kind of be the beneficiary of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, here in Atlanta this morning, you pulled in fairly early, I guess, so you could enjoy the sunshine.
And, it was great. What a beautiful day.
Guy, you went golfing?
I did. You folks have a fabulous, fabulous community for golf. It's just great. We had a great time, played, and the weather was fabulous. The course was wonderful. Great people.
Forgive me for talking about logistics, but I got to ask one more question. Tell me about catering, because you guys always have the best catering.
Marsh is the connoisseur of catering right here.
Yeah.
He's got the palate, eating palate.
I am a food, mainly a sugar freak. So the first thing I do is go in, and before anybody gets in there, I can tell them, hey, man, the cookies are good. Leave the carrot cake alone. I have had a snack of all of it.
Marshall knows his carrot cake.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a carrot cake connoisseur.
Yeah. Try to keep from getting huge out here. You gotta test it. You can't just dive in.
Well, that's right.
You know what I mean?
You either don't eat or you just work out. You know.
Well, and the other side of it is, you know, people say, well, that's so luxurious. You know, you have a job where they feed you lunch and dinner, and they take care of you when you're working, and wish my job did that, and all this type of stuff. But if you think about it, you're on the road, you're in a bus, it's very easy to be unhealthy. It's
very easy. Yeah, the hardest thing is afterward. I tell you, the years that that sweet Vestal and George and the guys were around that had been doing this, you know, for so long. They had it down, and mm-hmm. after their concerts, they had drivers who had their food ready for them. And I mean, you know, because after you get done working, you're just keyed up. Mm-hmm. You're mentally keyed up. You've had an exciting evening, you know, and you're not ready to go to bed. And even though it's midnight, you're mm-hmm. just all wired. You know, yeah. you're sitting around on the bus. And Vestal, we used to kid her. We used to tell her she had life insurance policies taken out on all of us, and she was trying to feed us to death. She would have a spread, man, on her bus.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, she would make these cakes, coconut cakes and mm. strawberry cakes and cobblers mm-hmm. and
oh my gosh.
Turkey, just full spread.
Well, now it's
indulged.
Now it's Ivan's bus, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. His
Woo!
Driver can cook.
Leland.
Yeah, man. He
was going to just give a word out to Leland.
God bless you.
God makes soup. Oh my gosh, we had taco soup last night.
Yoosh. We're part-time singers and full-time eaters, brother.
That's a good quote. Now, do you get food when you go to different parts of the country? Do you get food that's really local to the venue you're at? Like, do you get Southern
fried
chicken?
Memphis.
We try hard.
Memphis yesterday.
Ribs,
barbecue.
Man, Corky's. Yeah. We were at Corky's mm-hmm. and we had us some barbecue and banana pudding.
Mm-hmm. Can't beat it.
You have to be selective though, otherwise you just get round and fun.
That's funny.
Round and fun, round and brother. Fun. I mean,
that's funny.
All right, back to the group. Everybody jokes that you guys are just getting started, you know, and you've heard all the jokes, but really, you guys have been around for a while. So I'm not going to say I wish you luck, and I hope you guys make a name for yourself or anything. It was the first time. Funny,
Bill did that without us. Let me tell you,
exactly.
He's done that already.
And it's been especially for you, Guy. Is it like having a new group every time you get a new member? Is it kind of like you have to find the group's personality and you got to maybe adjust the sound a little bit? You got a Marshall Hall now that brings a different kind of a sound, and you've got a West Hampton yeah. that does something different with the high end.
Yeah, very insightful. That's true. Yeah. And it's been, you know, it's much like a puzzle. I like the way Bill says it. Nobody is perfect, and there's no perfect puzzle piece to put in there. Everyone is a compromise at some level because we're all fallen. You know, we said it earlier, we're all busted. So I bring a strength to the table that Marsh may not bring, but I may not be strong in another area that Marsh brings something to the table, whereas Wes can bring this other piece and Bill another piece, and that's the fun in playing on a team. And so really the only real common ground I found in the years I've been apart is that you have to have your team has to all be pulling in the same direction. Much like I like horses, you know, and I like that just hooking a team of horses up. If you throw a new horse into a team, that horse has to learn how to operate with those other horses and with the driver. If not, then you've got three horses pulling in one direction and one the other, and it's going to mess the team up, you know. And our situation's not much different. So And in this particular situation, it's just a real blessing. The Lord really did look after us in the changes that have taken place. I think He's been involved, obviously, in everyone. And everyone that's been a part of the vocal band in my tenure have been fabulous. And in their own right, it's just taking nothing away from any of the gentlemen that I've sung with. Jonathan, Russ Staff, Mark Lowry, David Phelps, these guys are phenomenal. They're talented. They're called of God to do what they're doing. And they listen to God. And I like Bill, too, because in that regard, he listens. And he's not jealous.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Russ's situation, he said, Bill, you know, I've been doing solo stuff for a long time, my whole life, and then part of the group. I feel something is just kind of missing. I still want to do the solo stuff. And so Bill didn't jealously hold on. He said, you know what? We'll follow God. You do what you feel like you need to do. Same with Dave and Jonathan and so forth. Mark wanted to go out and do his own thing. He said, I just feel like I've been here and contributed all I can contribute at this point. And in those moments, you know, you just pray and you follow God's leadership. And this last change with David and Wes becoming a part of the vocal band, we just sat down. We were at a Starbucks in Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
We sat down and just prayed. And Bill said, man, I'm tired. I don't want to go through the long process again, you know. So we prayed, Lord, just make this easy, would you? Just send us who you want. Well, Wes, it was the first CD we got was Wes Hampton. And we were responsible and turned over the other rocks. But
we knew something pretty early, though, I think.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Wow.
And so in this in that regard, this team is just so focused. God has put us here to be the Gaither Vocal Band, and we're not splintered in any way with regard to other callings or other responsibilities in life, mm-hmm. other than obviously raising families, which we're all really in the heat of with new babies, all three of us.
Yeah,
Bill excluded there. New baby there. Just Wes. He's the newest baby that Bill has.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's just started being able to
out
past 10.
So that's good.
Out of pull-ups. But, well, yeah, it's a bit of a juggle.
If I were in Bill's position and I have, you know, achieved a level of success with my quartet called the Gaither Vocal Band, and then a change was necessary, I would be so tempted to want to force something, to say, okay, we got to bring it back to this level and maybe even go higher with it. And not to say that it's not good to have goals, but I'm saying, obviously, what you're telling me is Bill doesn't force it.
He is a genius. Bill's genius, I think, comes in his ability to know people's strengths and, consequently, their weaknesses, too. Which puts a lot of responsibility on him because he's got to be delicate and careful. He's one of the best diplomats with a person. You know, artists are weird. We're a weird bunch. And egos are fragile. And I like what he says with regard to egos. He says, you know, everyone has an ego. And I don't, and his words are, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I've heard him say it so much, I know what he thinks about it. And he would say, God placed an ego in everybody. It may be the wrong terminology, but you get the idea. What he wants to see happen is your ego get sanctified. That's the way he puts it. You know, if we could just get all the egos sanctified, then God can work with that. Because you have to have a certain amount of moxie to just stand out in front of people and sing or talk like you do. You have to have some nerve to sit behind that microphone and be responsible and speak your mind and yet be careful and loving and kind. And his strength lies in that, or one of his strengths, many, but it lies in that ability to put people together like that. And so he doesn't get jealous, like you said, and try to put someone in and say, no, you have to do it like David Phelps did it, or you have to do it like in my case, Michael English. I mean, what kind of shoes are those to fill? Hello? I'm a Mike fan, Mike a long, long time. And I couldn't come in and be Mike English.
Yeah.
And to be me. And Bill's big enough to say, okay, we'll give it time and space, and there may be some attrition. Some of our fan base may not like you. Hmm. And you've got to learn to deal with that. And I will give you time and space to deal with that. But we'll have time to develop this. And I think that's one of the real attributes that's allowed Bill to stay doing this for so long at this level, because mm-hmm. he evolves with it and with the people around him. Is that a fair statement, guys?
I would definitely
say
so.
Yeah.
Well, when Russ Taff left the Gaither Vocal Band, and it's kind of like every time somebody there's an announcement somebody's leaving and there is the period that you're looking for the next replacement, everybody that knows anything about the vocal band is on the edge of their seat. They're like, okay, Bill's going to do it again. He's going to give us somebody who's just going to – it's going to be – not better than before, but it's just going to be totally different, and it's in that quality that he's so famous for putting out there. When Marsh came along, he was kind of a, and that's the thing with Bill. He usually, now Russ was kind of an exception. He usually finds some fresh talent that nobody's much heard of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Marsh, you were friends with Bill and Gloria's son, Benji.
Yeah.
So are you saying that it pays to be friends with certain people? And talent has nothing to do with it, or what?
No, I'm telling you what. If anything, that was. It was not a good thing.
You know, that is true. I'll hush in just a sec, but that's a true statement, because Bill, another aspect of Bill that you know, you find out about him quickly if you're around him much, is he doesn't push his own thing. And he's got such talented children. Writers. Suzanne's brilliant and a fabulous writer. Amy's a fabulous writer. Singer.
Actress,
just many, many great attributes. Benji, wonderful singer, wonderful writer, creative like crazy, just a creative nut. And yet they've probably had to overcome their dad, honestly, to get exposure, because he's so afraid he's going to appear to be pushy with his kids, you know, or push his kids into something maybe they didn't want, you know, and so it wasn't necessarily a plus that he and Benji were close because he thought, well, I don't want anybody to think just because he's a family friend.
I mean, what's it going to look like when this kid that comes over? Because I used to, you know, Benji would call, hey, man, mom's fixing soup. Come over. That's the kind of guy I was to that family, you know. And so, you know, it's taken me a while to be Marsh to Bill and not his little son's little buddy. And I was actually thinking when you were talking about the horse team, I mean, I was a studio singer for 15 years before I came into the vocal band, and I thought, man, does it take horses like a year and a half to learn how to go with the same team? Because it took me a year and a half to figure out. I wasn't nervous to sing in front of people. I just didn't really understand it. I just, you know, got up and there's my notes. They were in tune, and I did my best at blending. And
as a session singer, don't you think you come into most singing situations having, you know, your bag up until then was to carry a bag of hats, essentially, and the producer would say, hey, we need a vibe like this or that, and you had to reach in your bag and try to sound like, you know, we want it to be kind of Eagles sounding, or we want it to be kind of real pure and clean, like maybe a George Beverly Shea type sound or a Nat King. And so you've got these hats that you put on, and it takes a while to find out who you are.
Yeah, that was very difficult, just finding your own voice, because just like he says, it's just, okay, Marsh, you know, I want Don Henley here. Okay, I want blah, blah, blah here. Okay. And then you don't really actually know who you are. So it took me quite a while to figure that out, but getting there.
So your relationship with Bill has changed in a good way. You're no longer just your
friend. He's twice my age, so we're not peers in that sense. And that won't occur, but we are friends now. I'm not just his son's buddy, and that's pretty cool. And I'm still his son's buddy.
I was going to ask you about Benji.
Benji's great, and you know, Benji and I have been friends since we were both trying to figure out everything. And then it was so weird. Everything that seemed like it happened in our lives happened in just like a step after. Hey, man, I got engaged, and he called me back like a month later. Man, I'm engaged too. Hey, I got married. Man, me too. Hey, let's have a kid, dude. We're having a kid. So it's just you know, it's funny. But yeah, Benji and I are still friends. Benji's doing great. My gosh, he's got so many plates spinning, and they're all just hot.
Yeah. Hoodwinked.
I mean, yeah, he's a goat for crying out loud. Yeah.
Well, and we'll go around the table. Wes, we'll start with you. What's your musical background? I mean, I think because you're the newest, we're kind of most familiar with what you were doing before. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done our homework, and we can see that you are involved with church music. Uh-huh. Has church and music and church music been a part of your life?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in the church, and, you know, was in church every Sunday. And I never thought that I'd be leading worship in a church, though. I never did. You know, God just opened that door for me to walk through it, and I did. You basically know the story of how it came about, me being in the vocal band, and it was just an amazing process. And it's great, though, how he knows where we're supposed to be and how long we're supposed to be there and when we're going to move on to the next thing. And I grew up listening to people like Steve Green, people like Larnell, people like Michael. And I didn't know who Bill Gaither was when I was a kid. I had no clue who he was. But I grew up listening to these guys who had started off with the vocal band. So that's pretty cool. You know, when you think about it, you know, Steve Green, Larnell, Michael, all those guys, their influences were all part of Bill's group. You know, and Bill really had a big part, played a big role in their lives as far as, you know, professionally. And it's just amazing to think about that.
What's your God story? I mean, how did God get a hold of you? Was it something that was a night and day type thing? Like some people have a date and they know for sure exactly this? Or was it kind of a something you grew up as a child always?
Yeah, I grew up as a child and, you know, made a decision very early on, you know, 5 years old, 6 years old, and not really fully understanding at the time what I was doing. And Not that I was pushed in that, but I came to the realization at 15 that, you know what, I don't have Jesus in my life. I don't have him.
Yeah.
I knew all the terminology and, you know, how I was supposed to act. You know, I was a good kid. You know, I obeyed. I didn't talk back to my parents. You know, I made good grades. Mm-hmm. You know, but I knew that I wasn't saved. So, my dad led me to Christ actually when I was 15, and you know, I remember that night. He actually had just come to a salvation experience as well, kind of in the same position that I was in, grew up and kind of went through the motions, and then he was just on fire because he had just got saved, and he shared with us, and then he said, I want to make sure that my family is saved. He went around the room and just talked to each of us, get to me. I was like, you know what, I can't say for sure. So, and that night it changed.
So when the whole audition thing, I understand it was a friend of yours said, look, Vocal Band's looking, and it was a friend of a friend. Somehow there was a connection. What's what's the degree of separation from someone? You know, however that works. But the way I see the story is it was, you're the luckiest guy in the world, and we all wish we could have had your story. If we could have been the first CD, maybe it would have been us.
Yeah,
you know?
It was wild. It was wild. Who would have thought my mother-in-law would have been the link? But, you know,
that's
what it was. But, you know, my in-laws had a great friend they'd known for years and years, and my father-in-law actually used to be a music minister at Bill's church, I mean, like 30-something years ago. You know, he's now a marriage and family therapist, and basically they had a couple that really took them in and helped them when they were first married, and this couple, Gene and Karen Badauer, been friends with them for years, and Gene passed away a few years ago from cancer, and they still...
Product
yes,
for
he
us
did.
On the road, he traveled in our product bus with a bunch of guys because Bill's dad was a GM employee, and he retired, and then he came out on the road with Bill. And just as his friends would retire, they would kind of filter out to the road out here with us. And so we've got this real great, solid, real mature bunch of dudes that. Are kind of like dads out here to everybody, and Gene was one of those kind of guys.
Yeah, you know, just an amazing guy, an amazing couple.
Sure.
And basically, Karen found out that there was an opening available, so she talked to my mother-in-law because she knew I was a huge Vocal Band fan, and she said, you know, I don't know if Wes is interested or not, but no one knows this yet, but I thought I'd share with you. I checked with Suzanne. She said it was okay to share with y'all, so just keep it quiet. And my wife called me Wednesday morning and said, hey, Karen just called mom and said to get a CD tour if you want to, if you're interested. I was like, well, yeah. So I threw together some stuff I had done with the church and not thinking really much of it. I thought, you know, this is exciting, but the probability that I will even get to audition is, good grief. And she got it to Suzanne, who then got it to Bill on Friday. And then Guy called me on Saturday. And that started almost a seven-week audition process.
I was at a Boy Scout camp with my boys, and we were canoeing on a river, and my cell phone rang, and I had it with me out there, and it was Bill, and Bill was stuttering. He said, hey, I just got a CD from a young kid who is a friend of Gene's, and I want you to listen to it, and I'm going to email, and he had his crew email this package to a computer. Oh, he couldn't. He never could.
Absolutely
he couldn't figure
not.
Out what, how to use his cell phone for the first year. And through a strange sequence of events, I got that out at this Boy Scout camp and listened to it and called Wes and had him drive up.
I just sang at a wedding. My wife and I sang at a wedding. Got a call. I didn't know who it was, so I didn't answer it. And check my voicemail. And, hey, Wes, this is Guy Penrod. I sing with a guy named Bill Gaither. I'm like, this is a joke, you know. And he keeps talking, and I realize it's real. And I call him, and I can't believe I'm calling him. Yeah, it's still on my cell phone.
It was on the website, wasn't it? Didn't you put it on a website?
Yeah, we did.
Because I want to think. I've heard it.
Or on the Gaither website, I think.
Yeah,
But I think somehow it just got deleted from my phone. It made me really sad, so I don't have that anymore. But
I'll leave you a new one.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, just... But it was an amazing process because it was something that I wasn't pushing. I thought, you know, if God wants this to happen, it's going to happen. And, there's a certain degree of responsibility that comes with that, too. We're not supposed to just sit back and wait for God to do everything. You know, there's responsibility on our part. So I felt like I did what I was responsible for doing, and God just kept opening those doors. And, we just kept going through them and thinking, wow, this is cool.
So it resonates with what Glory always says, God's in the interruptions, he's in the
He is. I mean, because I was leading worship, you know, and I was content on what I was doing.
Wow.
And all of a sudden get a call to audition, and I never thought that that would happen. And, you know, people always ask, well, how do I get started? How do I get my foot in the door? And, you know, it's a simple answer, but keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you want to sing, keep singing. Sing at your church. And if God wants you to expand your territory, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to try to make things work. I tried to make things work about 5 years ago with a solo thing, and it just didn't work. And I thought, you know what? God's telling me that I don't need to do this right now. I don't need to be out doing solo concert stuff. I need to be at my church leading worship and doing what he's called me to do for that time. Yeah. And that's what I did.
Vestal told me that at one point. She said, sing wherever you can sing, and, you know, if churches will have you, go sing at the church. If the nursing home will have you, go sing at the nursing home and sort of bloom where you're playing that type of talent.
Yeah, Bill always says, you know, are you singing at your church? Yeah. Are you singing at other churches? Yeah. Are they asking you back? And there is a really good good barometer for you.
That's the voice of Marshall Hall. And by the way, we're talking to Wes Hampton, Marshall Hall, Guy Penrod of the Gaither Vocal Band on this edition of Daniel Britt and Friends. Wes is the newest member, and I'm sure he gets picked on a lot because of that. But and you know, to be honest, David Phelps is a powerhouse singer, and I think a lot of people said, okay, we don't know the name Wes Hampton. We have no idea what he's going to bring to this stage, but he better fill these shoes because...
He better bring it.
Yeah, right. And I'm so glad to say that that you do well.
You do really well.
And as Bill told me just recently, people have been responding, have been an overwhelming response to what you bring to the group and to this personality of the vocal band.
It's wild.
And we love reading about Hampton happenings, right, on your website and your kids and the latest brews or the latest recipe. Or I mean, it just goes on. It's cool. That's the Internet for you. But
absolutely.
Do you hear a lot back from what you put up there?
Yeah, it's wild because I thought, you know, I really started this just so that, you know, we have friends and family all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, I can keep everybody up to date. It's a little rinky-dink website. You know, nobody's going to come visit except for, you know, the few hundred friends we have all across the nation. And, you know, we're like, I mean, it's like 2 million hits or something it's had.
Wow.
And it's people from Brazil that write or, you know, somebody in Europe that's written. And I'm just like, wow, you know, this is amazing. And I'm just kind of sharing what's going on in the live, just boring everyday stuff that, you know, I wouldn't find interesting. But
well, that's the thing. You go on there and you say, okay, this is a member of the prestigious Gaither Vocal Band. And you start reading it and like, well, he's just an everyday guy. And I mean, he goes out on the road, but what he's writing here is he's home changing a diaper or chasing a kid.
Lots of diapers.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys have fun. And even with some of the stuff like that life throws at you, you have fun too. You are doing some solo stuff, I hear.
Yeah, I'm doing just a few things this summer on our off time. Yeah, very, very few
very,
things.
Very,
yes.
Very,
very, very few. I mean, just one or five. But no, really, I'm doing like, you know, 4 or 5 concerts this summer just in the downtime. And yeah, I even let the churches know, hey, listen, I'd love to come, but if Bill calls the day before,
sure,
I'm going with Bill.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, this group is my number one priority. It really is. And it's where I feel... I mean, I know this is where God has called me, but I love doing solo stuff too. Just it's another avenue I can go.
Sure.
When we're not singing, you know, because that's something I love to do, and it's just another outlet.
Marsh, you saw some of the a little bit more maybe than Wes did, but with the two of you now with this, do you see this as kind of being a next generation vocal band because some of the legends have passed on, and so now you're singing. Primarily with some of the younger faces like Signature Sound that's with you on the tour.
Hmm.
Do you see it as kind of maybe being the vocal band for the next generation? You are younger guys, obviously you're bringing in the younger audiences.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly seems like Bill has taken us in that direction. Bill is the man who drives the ship, and when we went in and started doing some tracks for the Give It Away record, I was really surprised at some of the stuff that we did. With Glorious Impossible being a very contemporary worship, I think he's good at seeing our hearts and making sure we have some, you know, we have little bitty pieces on there that make those parts of us just happy and sing.
Yeah.
And I do. I think this is, I don't really want to say a next generation vocal band because, I mean, we're a four-part quartet. You know, I mean, we sing four-part men's harmony, and we're going to sing old school until, because we've got an old school boss. And I love the music that we sing. I love singing Journey to the Sky. I love it when we sing I'll Tell It.
I'll Tell It.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. But I think that we will keep doing some current, for lack of a better term, tunes. I think we'll be doing some of those just simply because we've got a couple younger guys in now. But I will say that I think this is the last generation vocal band. I mean, I can't see any of us heading out.
No.
And if they do, I'll hunt them down and shoot them.
At least that's what Guy says.
Yes.
He told me when I was auditioning, he goes, all right, now if this were to work out and you were to quit on us, I will let you loose on my little ranch out here. And I'll get a bow and arrow, and I will hunt you down.
Give all my kids bow and arrows.
He said with a little smile at the end. I was like, oh, dear.
Give you a 30-second head start.
Exactly.
Well, I told Ernie this about signature sound. I think it would be true for vocal band, too, because the way Bill does these things, the music, gospel music, white gospel, southern gospel, American gospel, whatever label you put on it, the older stuff, is like comfort food. It's like a hand-churned ice cream, you know, and you just love it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, with your faces, with Ernie's hair and the dancing and all of that stuff, it's kind of like this old-fashioned homemade ice cream is put into a box on the market shelf. But instead of just being a plain cardboard box, it's got a neon flashing sign on it. It's getting people's attention and saying, hey, you need to try this. This has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And you may not think you like it. You may think you need the Blizzard, or you may think you need something with sprinkles on top. But yeah. this is good stuff here.
I tell you what, I grew up on, I mean, Michael Jackson Off the Wall was my first record. Billy Joel, Glass Houses, Kool and the Gang, Kenny Loggins, that is what I grew up on, and I didn't know any of these convention songs, and now that I've sung them, they feel like they have been inside of me all of my life. I go around the house, you know, singing, what was I singing earlier the other day? My fetters fell off. I don't even know that song.
What is it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, I mean, if you're not listening to it, come grab a hold of some, because you'll love it. I have fallen in love with the music that we sing. It's just, it's good stuff. It is. What does Gloria call it? Some of those hymns that we carry around, a portable theology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a great line, because what we sing, we will ultimately believe. It gets in our head.
Yeah.
Big time. And I've heard people, just like Gloria, and she might tell you this herself, but so she's heard people repeat lyrics of hers and say it's scripture.
Yeah.
And she's like, man, if that's happening, I better make sure I am linking up my lyrics with the word. This is good stuff to get in you.
And what's in comes out, I think. Yeah, that's what they always say.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you talked about who some of your influences were, because I don't know if earthy is the right term, but you've got a soulful depth to your voice, Marsh, and that's sometimes a bit different. I mean, soul singing is not... when I talk about soul, I'm talking about kind of like Michael English brought to the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not unheard of in gospel music at all. I'm not saying that. But with what you're bringing to the convention-style songs and to what Bill does, have you been criticized for that? You ever think, that's not really gospel. You need to sing more straight-laced and quartet style.
I haven't been, and I'll tell you what, it's exactly the opposite. When I first got into the group, you know, Russ had been in for a couple of years. He kind of decided he wanted to go back and do solo stuff, and it still had the overwhelming feel of Mark Lowry really had his stamp on the thing, and so I was trying to fill that thing vocally and sing straight, and like Mark, just sing straight and fill that hole. And one summer after the tour was over, and Bill kind of said, you know, didn't you used to sing some like soul stuff? That's kind of what I wanted you to do when you came into the group. Could you do some more of that? And so now when we're in the studio and Bill will be behind the board, hey, put a run in there. Do that thing you do.
That's great. Marsha, you made this, and she kills it.
So it's totally the opposite. If people come up and say, the first time we started doing Jesus Loves Me in concert, I was a little bit scared because it's, you know, soulful and there's licks in it, but I have people come up and praise the Lord. They just say, man, that just touched me so much. That's so beautiful the way you sing it. And it's a natural way for me to sing. It's just a totally not put on I mean, that's how I sing when I'm walking through the halls.
And again, that I think that points to Bill's ability to see someone's strength and then play to that strength and make it work within what he knows he needs to accomplish. And that's a leader. And that's what leaders do. You know, they get people around them that can get their ship to the place that they need their ship to go. And you don't, you know, no one person has the right idea for everything. So a good leader is able to give each person their space to expand, you know, and do what their strength is. And so, again, yeah, you know, that's, I think that's one of the reasons the vocal band's had longevity, and the fact that Bill has put his resources behind the group, you know, and said, I don't care if we go through this little slump or that little turn or whatever, I'm going to stay the course and put my money where my mouth is.
And he listens with a future ear.
Yeah, he really does.
When we were trying out Wes, we loved his voice, and Bill got off on this, let me hear you sing in your head voice some. Let me hear you do this. Let me hear you do that. And he had Wes just kind of, la, 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 just, you know, kind of high stuff. Yeah. And we thought, okay, cool. He's got a nice head voice. And now that I'll Tell It, Lord, is like, I mean, gosh, that is just wonderful.
We went out and bought some records of an old
Sam Cooke.
Went to Tower Records right there on, was it Music Row or
West End?
Yeah, West End right there in Nashville. And he bought me a like a 2-volume set of Sam Cooke stuff. He said, all right, listen to this. Let's try some stuff out. So, and we had just finished recording I'll Tell It, and we were actually starting to mix down the actual CD. And we, after listening to some of the stuff, went in and I changed some stuff that I did when we were mixing down. So our poor engineer, he's just amazing. He said, okay, set up a mic and overdub some little Sam Cooke type stuff, and it worked. Wow. And it's just funny how that happened. That's not even what they were looking at. I don't think when you were first trying me out, and.
Well, but he heard that.
The head voice thing is kind of.
Yeah,
and that's part of the cool thing of pulling in, the strengths of Wes or the strengths of Marsh, and being able to cater to a younger crowd. You know, Bill's 71 now. I mean, he'll run you under the table, I guarantee you, and me too, and the others of us.
Yep.
He just goes and goes, but he realizes, I'm 71 years old. I may not appeal to this particular crowd, but he can. And once he agrees that this is a quality individual, and, we don't have to be perfect. He knows we all have flaws, but this individual is pulling toward the same end that I am. Jesus is in his life. He's first. He's, he's pulling toward God. And I'm going to put my stamp on him. And once someone does that, with authority and with a history like his, then it gives the audience a place to just relax, and they go, okay, well, Bill's okay with it. And it gives him the ability to be free and him the ability to be free and do what he wants to do.
We're talking to the Gaither Vocal Band, and that is Wes Hampton, Guy Penrod, Marshall, and, of course, Bill Gaither. And the voice you just heard there was Guy Penrod, and it's the long-haired, iconic, tall guy in the group, the William Golden of the Gaither Vocal Band, the William Golden of Southern Gospel, I guess.
You.
Oh, boy. Lord help us all. Yeah, this icon got my son a demerit at school the other day because he needed a haircut.
Oh, gosh.
He came home and he looked at me, and he'd been homeschooled up until this point, and we have him in a private school this year, and he came home and said, Dad, they told me I had to get my haircut. And it was out of his realm of, he just didn't realize people cut their hair, for any other reason. And so I said, well, that's the rules. Here we go. We're off to the barbershop, but no problem. Don't worry about it.
Well, your looks have become as much a signature, I think, almost as your voice. I mean, I've seen you in Gatlinburg, okay? This just gives you this kind of a way that you made me starstruck. We were doing the Family Fest deal.
Yeah.
And Gatlinburg is just so jam-packed and congested, that little city, so I don't care. There's no privacy in Gatlinburg. Right. You're out on the street, and everybody sees you. And, I see some of the other artists, and it's just kind of like, they're kind of everyday people. But then there's Guy Penrod, and that flowing, and it's just like, that is the man, the voice, Guy Penrod. And obviously, I'm sure you've probably heard some of the criticism, but I think even the people who don't like the long hair, I've heard them even joke and say, I don't really care for the long hair so much. But Lord, don't cut it, because it might be like Samson, and he may not can sing without it. How do you deal with that?
Funny.
Have you ever had somebody just say something that you just really didn't know how to respond?
You know, people are sweet and loving, and I think I am a believer in that you get back what you give out. And so if you give out love and you give out kindness and you give out gentleness and meekness, strength under control, and you are patient, you know, those qualities that Paul laid out in 1 Corinthians, I mean, those things come back to you. And as recently as the cruise we did in the Caribbean, we had a wonderful time. We charter a big ship and people buy passage and come and listen to our music on the boat, and we do several concerts and just have a great time out in the Caribbean. We have wonderful speakers that come on and speak, and it's just a great week. And this one gentleman, big old man, I don't know where he was from, but he had a southern accent, maybe down here in Georgia, you know, just a big old country boy. I mean, hands just huge. And he walked up to me in the restaurant one day and stuck his hand out, and he said, "Can I talk to you a minute, son? Do you have a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And I stood there, and he talked about his life a little bit and his background. And then he started tearing up, and he said, "I just want to tell you, I think you are a wonderful person. I've gotten to know you. I've given you space. And I used to really be angry by the fact that you look different than what I perceive, you know, a good Christian singing, you know, example or whatever we are perceived as should be." And my wife really drugged me to these things. You know, I didn't really want to come. But having been around and come to several of them and had an opportunity to see you with your family and so forth. And again, I'm far from perfect. But if you're chasing God, people can see it. Mm. And when you give out love, you're going to get some back. And this gentleman just affirmed that in me and said, the looks are rather preferential. Sure. And I don't necessarily prefer it, but I love you. And I love what you're doing. And so I'm fine with that. You know, not everybody's going to like you.
Yeah.
And not everybody's going to not like you. But you just have to be true to what you are. And you have to be, if the Lord says to me, it's time for you to cut your hair or you know, a good example. I read a book the other day. You know, this Don Colbert wrote a book about what would Jesus eat? I think he wrote that book. And my wife's a big health nut, so she's always chasing me. I have bad health histories on both sides of my family, and I've had horrible eating habits, so she's always chasing me. You got to change this. You got to change that. You got to eat better. You got to exercise. Blah, blah, blah. So I am. She gives me this little booklet, and she says, okay, read this book. So I read it, and I find out what sugar does to your body. And it impacted me. And I said, and I felt, you know, as you do in prayer and believers, I think the Holy Spirit speaks to you and through you and in a still small voice. And I felt like he said, I want you to give up sugar. This is not good for you. I want you to quit that. And I had 3-4 big old heaping tablespoons of sugar in my coffee every morning. And that was the only sugar I had, but I had that. And that was my coffee, dadgummit. Don't mess with my coffee.
That's right.
Right? But I felt like I got to give this up, so I give it up. It's the same thing. It's not that important. If God says cut your hair, cut your hair. If he says, you know, don't do this, don't do it. And it may take a struggle, may be tough, you know, different things people get addicted to.
Sure.
But it's, again, it goes back to your attitudes. I don't think it has near as much to do with the way you look or the way you project yourself. Well, no, that is true, the way you project yourself. But it goes to your attitude, your heart, your heart.
Yeah.
People see through that. So that's a long answer. Sorry.
Well, it's a good answer, though.
Well, there you go.
Another signature of Guy Penrod, though, is the Kipling full of children that you have.
Oh, yeah.
You and your wife, Angie, we all know about. It looked like it's going to be just a boy parade till kingdom come there, but finally we got the girl, right?
Yeah.
And everybody rejoiced. Tell me about your kids.
Oh, they're fabulous. I adore them.
Yeah.
I have changed, you know, like when people told us that had kids before we started having kids, you know, they tried to tell us what it'd be like. And you look at them like a calf looking at a new gate, you know, you just stare. And it really doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's there, and you just kind of wonder, what are you saying? But when you have a kid, all of a sudden, this large area in front of your wife that just looked like part of your wife few minutes later, you have another human in the room. Yeah. You didn't know this human. You didn't. You'd never seen it. You knew you had something in there, but now that I'm holding my first one, I would die for it that quick.
Yeah.
I mean, just not there, there the next minute, in your arms, didn't know it. You try to take it from me or hurt it, and I'm going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just that sure. kind of love. And so it's just that times eight now for me. And with a little girl, it's just a whole new thing. She's the princess, you know, and all
right,
the guys
right.
love her. And they talked right. about blowing up her Barbie dolls and everything until she got here.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
now she's here. If anybody yeah. messes with her, boy, I mean.
Princess Daisy.
Yeah, it breaks loose at the house.
I got to say, his kids are the most well-behaved, respectful, gentle, kind children. They're just fabulous. They are wonderful kids. Mm. Every one of them. They're so great with my kids. And
wow. They are awesome.
They've done an amazing job raising those boys. And they're not through yet, but
they got a good mama, too.
Gosh,
she
yeah.
is just a...
And you live there in Tennessee. You kind of live in a log cabin type
yeah,
place.
Yeah, we actually do live in a log cabin.
So not kind of. It's really...
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Little log house we bought about 10, 11, 12 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
12 now, I guess. Yeah, and we love it. It's just a little place, but we feel like, you know, Doug Stone, I'm a country singer fan. I love country mm-hmm. music, and Doug Stone sang a song years back called Love Grows Best in Little Houses. And, you know, it speaks to the yeah. idea of community. When you're
sure.
close and
sure.
there's not a lot of walls separating you. So we live that out. We got 10 people shoved in that little 2,600 square foot log house. We get outside a lot.
Well, I get that about you. You know, I said you were kind of like larger than life, but at the same time, I can tell that you're kind of like a country boy. You know, you're who you are, and you're kind of an everyday person. Kind of like we're talking about Wes and Marsh too. I mean, I think that you guys really are real people once you get past the glimmer and the spotlights of the arena here, and people through the Best of Guy Penrod video. Do you find that? Do you ever think it's unusual or weird to be in your shoes and that people are interested in what's going on at home, what's going on inside those four walls, or
yeah.
what with the horses and how many kids you have, and, you know, why do they care? Do you ever think that?
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is. I'd be lying to say it wasn't. It's mm-hmm. it's odd, and it feels funny because life's just normal to us, and we just live normal lives like everybody mm-hmm. else. But I do think there is a real longing in our society at present for grounding, maybe anchoring,
mm-hmm.
Home, I think is becoming lost in our day and time a lot. We entertain ourselves to death so much. Mm-hmm. We're disconnected a lot as people in our society, and whether it's, you know, dad's coming in, sitting down in front of the TV and just trying to veg out because they've had a hard day at work and they're disconnected from their kids, or husbands and wives growing apart through the years. And we're going to fight for family, for our marriage, and for, you know, the good things that God lays down in His Word. And it's a fight. I mean, it's a fight to stay focused on that, because there's a lot of things yelling at us. I think one of Satan's tools in our day and time is to try to get us as humans to move faster, both physically and mentally, than we should. I think one of the examples of that is internet. It moves at the speed of light. We're not made to move at the speed of light. We're not glorified yet. We're not in our heavenly bodies, and we're not made to operate at such a multitasking level that we're splintered. You know what I'm saying? And so I do think, and I'm going into a real deep answer to that question, but I do think there is a draw, whether it's my family or Marsha's family or your family, anybody's family, that looks like what we perceive a family ought to look like, you know, and be like, and play together. And rather than looking at a video screen of a golf game, just get outside and go play golf.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather than riding horses on Nintendo, just go ride a horse.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just common sense kind of stuff like that.
Sure.
And I think that's part of the draw to any story that centers around what we know in our hearts, even if we've not been brought up that way. We know there's a man and a woman that have made a commitment. It's one lifetime, one woman, one bunch of kids and family. You raise them to love God and chase God and the good things in life. And it's always attractive, because that's the way God made us to be. You know what I mean?
we're wrapping this up, but listen, there's no greater respecter of Bill Gaither than me, okay? So I'm going to get that in the open. But yeah, we are into ratings, and Bill's not here.
Ratings. Oh, here we go.
It's just us girls. So listen, what drives you nuts about him? I mean, I'm not talking about dirt. I'm talking about just every day. Bill does this different than I would have done it, but, you know, it's his show, so we
bow. Okay. What do you got to say?
Gosh. Coward.
I'll get in there again. I'm going to see what y'all say.
I am a person who likes order and likes to know. I like to know what songs I'm going to be singing.
Oh, man.
I like to know the words to songs I'm going to be singing. If I don't feel 100% confident in the lyric of a song before I go sing it, I am a wreck. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing he does sometimes. He'll call a song that we've never rehearsed before. In fact, the first video I ever did, the Canada video, or Live from Toronto, one of those two,
he
called I Bowed on My Knees. He never asked me if I knew that song, if I ever heard of it. He never asked me. And it's a videotaping. You know, so stuff like that, I wouldn't say bothers me, but it kind of rattles me sometimes. Like, oh, gosh, why do you do that? You know, and then we did a video shoot a while back, too. And the day of, Marshall and Guy and I were sitting on the bus, and we just found out songs of Vocal Band are supposed to sing. And we had never rehearsed those songs. So the videotaping, I'm sure they won't make the video.
We'll have to go back in and fix them up.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So that's one thing, but that's more, you know, just my personality and his, you know. He's
sure.
Bill's like, hey, I like this song. Hey, let's do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's got 40 groups on his mind. You know, what songs am I going to get this group to sing and that group to sing and this? Yeah. And he, with us, he just goes, okay, here. Yeah. Picks one out of the bag and throws it in. Go.
That's kind of what I was going to say.
Oh,
coward. I know. That's awful. I wish I could come up with something all brand new.
My story, I remember somewhere, I don't know if it was Atlanta, Gatlinburg, Greenville, I don't know where it was, but backstage, and they would have the roster, you know, sometimes, you know, Linda and Ivan and Signatures and all these groups. And I know that's sort of loose and fluid, even though it's on paper. But this one was it really got me. It pre-printed, typed out, and then the Vocal Band last, and then the intermission. There's a big X over it all, and just said, "Be ready." And it was like there nobody knew where
I'll
was going to fall.
He's right too stinking much.
He is. It's annoying.
And that just hacks me off. There you go.
You know what he is?
He just. I know he's got 40 years, but I don't
he
care.
He knows what he's doing.
I don't want to be right all the time. I just want to be right. For crying out loud! See, I was right, Bill. How about some of that? But that hasn't happened yet.
It's true, though. I mean, he is.
He is.
He's just done it so long.
God has blessed him.
That's one
crying out loud. I know it.
You know, he flows. That's where he flows.
Praise the Lord for it.
Yeah.
But I'm still hacking.
He's like got the programming gift or something.
We sure did.
Tour is giving away at every concert $1,000 in five increments of 200 each to five random names out of the concert attendees at night around and pour back into you more than you can imagine, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, right? That's his words, not ours. And so we just want to take that message and prove it. And so one of the small things we're doing in the Give It Away tour is giving away at every concert $1,000 in five increments of 200 each to five randomly drawn names out of the concert attendees at night. And we give them an envelope, the $200, a way for them to get back in touch with us and write their story and get it to us as to how, what God did with your $200 or, you know, what you did with it from there. What did God lay on your heart? And it's just true. I mean, we are funnels, essentially. When you get it good in your head, we are funnels for the owner of everything, the master fund manager. You can put it, wrap it in whatever vernacular you need to. God owns everything, period. End of discussion. No end to his wealth. And so if his children, we, would get it through our heads that Dad's got it all and he just is sitting on the edge of his seat to give us more so we can help and give away and give, 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 I think there could be truly, truly a revolution.
Wow.
And we could really see needs. They've said it from stage, and I just believe it. We could do away with government giveaway programs, government band-aids over issues that
That because it's a heart issue. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of I don't have enough. It's a matter of heart. If you can lay yourself down and give what you need and meet the, or have and meet mm-hmm. the needs of others, then God said, I will bless that and I will supply more because mm-hmm. I see your heart, right?
Yeah.
In
yeah.
the Old Testament,
right.
God saw David's heart. Again, time and time again, Abraham's heart, mm-hmm. Isaac's heart. On and on. And the same is true, obviously, through the New Testament. And we want to trumpet that message of take what you have and test God. And you know, it's the only subject in the Word that God said, test me in this. In other words, he said, I dare you. Try me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. So if we can get that into ourselves and into those that hear what we're doing...
It's an obedience issue.
Absolutely.
For me, I am so, I mean, my wife, give her from the get-go. And I mean...
You grateful for the tithe, otherwise she give away it all.
Oh my gosh. No, I mean, I'll just go ahead.
You know what, we can touch that subject. Jesus, when asked by the Pharisees, and they were trying to trap him with mm-hmm. the whole tithe question, and he said, no, in reality, I'd rather you give 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all God's.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of tithe. If you can just
right.
tithe, well, God bless you. But really, I mean, he needs 100%. But if
yeah.
you're not capable,
yeah.
then okay, you can just tithe.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we get it through our heads that it
oh,
doesn't
yeah,
matter what you give, if you have an unlimited supply and source,
that's true.
Then what is a tithe?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, I'm sorry to say that I didn't tithe till I got married. My wife was just on it with
gotta
that.
Start
and
somewhere.
So... Thank God, because we got on that. And then the rest of it still isn't yours. And I mean, where you put, you know, the Bible says where you put your money, there's your treasure.
Where your money, that's where your heart is.
For crying out loud, man.
I want my
treasure to be in the things of God.
Right.
Get rid of it and put it into his people so they can get out and do more of his work.
The Gloria says, you know, it's not even a monetary issue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she says, that's the first thing we think of. She said, that's the easy way out is money. You
yeah.
give your money away, write a check, you're done.
Right.
But she said the hard
mm-hmm.
thing or the more involved thing is to actually to do that. Get
yeah.
involved. Invest your time and your energy
oh
into someone.
Get off
mentor someone.
Help somebody build something.
Work at
oh
the food
gosh.
Bank or,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
There's
get tied up with a life next door that's blowing
yeah.
up. Our marriage
right.
that you know and it's blowing up and the kids are having a hard time. And you know, get involved in one of those situations. That's it'd be a lot easier to say, oh, you need $100.
Okay, here you go.
You know, rather than give away night after night of time.
So for Gaither, give it away really isn't new. It all goes back to community.
Absolutely.
And I've heard Bill preach
sure,
that for years.
Sure,
so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the whole CD is good. I mean, the Give It Away song
yeah.
is just outstanding. And then you got the rest of the, I mean, it's classic vocal band, and it's got some really cool stuff in there. So
thanks.
We can find out more about it and more about Guy, in particular at Gaither.com. At Wes, at WesHampton.com, right?
Yes.
And Marsh, what's your website?
I just go to Gaither.com.
Okay.
I'm not updating that thing.
No, it's about 5 years out of date.
So. Sure.
It looks
good.
Matter, we say, you're a fabulous interviewer.
Well,
we
yeah,
do
you
this
really
a lot.
Thank you.
This is pleasant. Wonderful time with you here. And
thanks,
thank you
Daniel.
For your hard work and your station's hard work. We know that what we do would be nowhere near as effective if it were not on the airwaves and if there weren't people out working hard and tirelessly. I know you guys work hard doing this, and you're getting the word out. And so God bless you, and we thank you for
thanks.
All
thanks.
Of your effort.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll keep working. You guys keep doing music, and it's a great
yeah.
cooperative effort. So thanks so much, guys. Let's do it again.
Good to be here.
Great.